You are familiar with the form now. The cushions for one of you. The purpose is freeing the heart and mind of those who listen and those who come. Yes. Hello. You need the microphone. Yeah. Turn it on, please.
Hello.
Hello.
My name is Izhar. And I'm dealing in these days and mm-hmm. other days. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Is an issue?
Yes.
I'll try to bring it as short as possible. I've been living now in the same community for about 40 years.
Oh.
I'm one of the co-founders of this community. And I withdrew from any position in this community like 10 years ago. And in the last years, I'm living more and more with the realization that a lot of my deeds, behaviors, and acts in the past caused pain.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, it's coming back to me now. I realize that actually I feel a lot of criticism, judgment, even more.
From others or from yourself inwardly?
It's mainly come from others. It's my feeling. It's my social feeling is that I'm in a place where I'm disliked.
Oh.
And
disliked is quite strong.
It's maybe even stronger.
Oh. Okay.
And I'm living with that, trying to live with that. It's not easy. I must say that in the last day I did a lot of let go work and it helps. But still, I know it's so deep that I want to sit here and to bring it in.
Yes. So with those people with whom you've lived for a long time, and to the people whom you know you have hurt, we all hurt somebody sometimes. So reflecting upon that, have you endeavored to make any amends or apologize or have you tried?
Yeah,
and?
I did.
And?
I did. There were a few tries, even some successful ones.
Yes.
But it's more, I feel it has now much more to do with the atmosphere than the persons that were in touch with my acts. It's a general feeling. It's something much larger than the people that were in contact with my deeds or with my acts. It is much more an atmosphere that I feel. It's like bad air I'm living in.
Oh, so you feel people's projections or you...
This is what I tell myself.
That you do. You think that you do.
I think that's what that I do, yeah.
And have you checked with people?
Yeah.
Have you said, I'm feeling this sensitivity towards me, or I'm feeling feelings of not being liked? Is it true?
Yeah, I mean, it influenced my life, actually. It's influenced my life. It's not just something theoretical.
Yes, I know.
I could meet it in places.
Yes, yes.
Where I met it coming towards me.
And when you meet it, what happens?
It's a disaster, usually. It's
okay.
It's a disaster. It's because it's a one way. It's a one way conversation. Usually, it's since I have to deal with the past, so I'm willing to meet it. But me today has to work with things that happened in the past, and over 10, 15, 20 years back.
Yes. So people hold resentment towards you, or grudges, or they've been hurt by a particular action on your part in the past. Okay. What kind of things are we talking about so that I can understand the situation?
Quite a strong leader type.
Quite a strong
leader.
Leader, okay.
A doer.
Mm-hmm.
And not having much consideration for other people around him. I'm talking about myself now.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
Not seeing so much the others, but seeing the aim, the project.
So, okay. So insisting on very hard work.
Insisting on one hand, on the other hand, very much not, has nothing, has a little, very little knowledge about relationship. And don't care so much about relationship.
Yes.
And seeing the fulfillment of achievements, fulfillments and other things. And this is quite an authoritarian.
Ah, okay. All right. So you had strong views about how the community ought to work, what should be done, how people should do it, and you didn't listen to them.
No, there was no one to listen. I knew what's right and what's wrong.
Okay.
And
so
there is so no one to listen. There was no
okay,
one
so
to.
The I landed on, I know what's best.
Of course.
Okay. All right. I lived in community for 13 years. I came up against people who tried to impose their views on me. I left.
Mm-hmm.
So,
on top of that,
yes,
I had a relationship with women.
Yes.
And then again, in a way, now to see that I was using my or misusing my power.
Yes.
And I couldn't see that it's not a free relationship.
Yes.
And it was part of the thing.
Yes. So misuse of sexual energy that brings hurt, usually all round.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so strong views, strong sexual energy, without the foundation of sila, without the foundation, an ethical foundation that takes care of others.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so having seen that in the past, what can you do about it now? Many of us live with regrets. Many of us have misused our sexual energy. Many of us have been authoritarian or bossy or direct or abrupt or unkind even in the past. In fact, is there anyone who hasn't been? No. Could it be that you're really giving yourself a very hard time here?
It goes both ways. One way I'm over 10 years now in a very, very deep inner work.
Yes.
Part of it being here.
Yes.
And so I'm thankful for being able to move or to come to a moment in my life where I said I can't anymore. It cannot work anymore this way.
Mm.
So this is one way. The other way the other one, which is coming mostly from outside, and I do respect it and I understand it, it's what recently in the last years I feel more and more coming from outside. And it really does have an effect on my life.
Yes. In what way? What effect? Other than feelings of hurt and mistrust or... Do you feel that you are misjudged now, given that you've changed in the last 10 years through the work on yourself?
Yeah, I am misjudged.
Yes.
I wasn't able... I stopped working as a therapist.
Uh-huh.
Because of that.
Yes.
Because of judgment. And it does have a strong influence on my life.
Mm. Okay. So what to do right now? How can you reflect on your life and be rather steady with what's happened? Yes, if we've acted inappropriately in the past, and we all have, we can apologize, we can make amends, we can change our behavior now. We can't undo the past.
Mm-hmm.
Does the strong view that you had in the community impact inwardly upon yourself right now? I'm getting the sense that you're actually a rather beautiful person sitting here, and that you can't see that. And instead, the harsh view that was once imposed outwardly is now being imposed inwardly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's a little... Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. How about, yes, looking this way, opening your eyes, letting in perhaps a different view? Maybe you're not right. Have you ever considered the possibility that you are not right?
Yeah, I mean, it's a feeling of I'm withdrawn. Yeah?
Yes, I can see, I can feel.
It's I'm creating reality surrounded by people who love me. I'm created community, other community or other circles where I feel well, mm-hmm. where people know my past and they know it as the way I am today.
Yes.
And they love me for what I am.
Yes.
I'm trying to believe them.
Yes.
And still, I mean, it's a big question, even though it's a community where my children live and my grandchildren live.
Yes.
And I'm very much considering of moving from there because there is something which is really stuck for me. I cannot come into my power there. So I don't, it's not talking about the old power, but my power of today. I cannot become myself in this place. And it's a big question. I just bring it here because I wanted just to put it, but
yes, okay.
There is no answer for that, but I guess.
Oh, there could be.
Okay.
So, can you forgive yourself for the actions in the past? Let's start there. What would it take?
I do work on it. I do work on it daily.
Ah, yes, and?
Sometimes it goes better, sometimes less, but mm-hmm. I do try to be gentle with that guy and to have some empathy for him.
Yes.
And I can forgive him again, but it comes in waves.
Yes.
It's not something which is it's a strong movement which is happening around this topic.
Yes. I can feel the intensity of it, and I can also sense and feel you wanting to withdraw.
There is something in me that wants to really physically move from
Yes, run away.
Yeah. Run away. Yeah.
Okay, so when we want to run from life, we perhaps need to do the opposite sometimes. Our habit is to withdraw, to shut down, to feel hurt, to shift, to move, to leave.
Yeah, I know it. I know it. I'm with it. I mean, it's...
Yeah.
I know it. I know it.
Could you do something different? What would it take to unstick this? Because I can see that the withdrawal and the hurt and the feelings of being misjudged are very painful.
I'm doing it right now, but it's a hard way. I mean, because I know I cannot change other people's thoughts, feelings, acts.
Do you have to?
No. I cannot do anything about other people.
Okay, but you can do something about what you're experiencing now.
Mm-hmm.
And that in the past, this sense of self has formed around I am right and I know best. And then, as I see it, that strength of views being turned inwards. And when we begin to soften the view, to let go of view, let go of grasping to the view, when we see that an idea or a thought or a view is not self, there's a sense of freedom. Do you understand this?
Yeah, I mean, I think that the knowing became unknowing. This is my feeling now. The person that used to know is now know nothing.
Okay, so this could be a wonderful thing. This could be humility. This could be you letting go of the person who thought they knew everything.
Mm-hmm.
Now there's the humility of not knowing. And then when you rest deeply there, what do you see inwardly?
I want to say another sentence which is coming, but it's just to add to the other feeling.
Yeah.
But sometimes I'm with the feelings that my existence bothers other people.
Ah, okay.
Just wanted to put it just came to
yes,
me.
Yes, yes.
That it's more than negativity or judgment. It's my existence is not welcomed.
Okay. This is a painful place to be, feeling that you are not meant to be here or your existence isn't welcome. Mm-hmm. It's an extreme extreme self-critical view, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it's actually self-loathing. The loathing of the self, the dislike of the self. You've been hearing all weekend teachings about not self, teachings about non-clinging. Not clinging to the view and the idea we have of who we are and this view that we don't measure up or we're not good enough.
Yeah, it's has softened my feelings, of course.
Yes.
Here, that's why I was hesitating sitting here, because it's not that I bring it from...
Yes.
My inner feeling is much softer towards myself and towards the situation right now after this week, of course. I mean, it's not...
There's progress.
No.
Okay, so the inner feeling is softer.
Much more, much softer.
Oh, a little smile even. I know that you have an understanding of the Dharma. We talked in the group. I know that you have a dedication to waking up. So let's do it right now. It's going to take letting go of the view, not just a little bit, but really letting go of the self-dislike. And we let go of the self-dislike by seeing that the entire structure of self is false. Come back here. Yes. Hold my hand. Okay. Not withdrawing into self-punishment, self-loathing, self-dislike. We walk together. Look out here. You are convinced that people don't like you. Is that really true? It's not what I'm seeing. Yes. Yeah. It's not what I'm seeing. What are you seeing? Come back again, not withdrawing. Thank you. See you again. There is not a person here who thinks you should not exist. Other than you. Sometimes. What's happening in your inner life?
Certain relief.
Yes. Yes. Let it come. Yes. We have grief about the life we may have had, or grief about the past. Yet we don't want to live bound to grief. Yeah. So it takes meeting life, not withdrawing into the sorrow of the inner world, the regret. It takes courage.
I want to live life fully.
Yes, anybody? Yes, come. There's quite a view from up here. Yeah.
Hi. I'm Lisa.
Hi, Lisa.
Hi. And I was thinking about if I want to sit here like from the first moment, and then I was like, okay, this is my last chance to go for it.
Okay.
So I, like, for about 30 years, I was a really tough person.
Mm-hmm.
And like, I'm alone. I don't need anybody. Like, mm-hmm. I had friends, I had relationships, but like,
yes,
I'm fine. And it also included like keeping all the cards to myself.
Yes.
And like, everything is always under control.
Mm-hmm.
I know what I'm doing, and you all know what I'm doing, and I will tell you what to do.
Okay.
And I was pretty good at it. And I saw myself as a very happy person.
Mm-hmm.
Not feeling anything, not good, not bad.
Mm-hmm.
Just doing.
Yes.
Very strong doer.
Mm-hmm.
And about 2 years ago, I had a very, very hard breakup. Like, mm-hmm. I couldn't control everything.
Mm.
And it really broke down my walls.
Yes.
This is also was the beginning of my practice.
Uh-huh.
And I'm really thankful for this.
So you came to practice through suffering?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And it was like the first couple of months, it was like, okay, I can't control everything. That was like mm-hmm. the mantra all the time. Mm-hmm, and it really, really helped. And like now, 2 years later, I realize I'm much more of a sensitive person than I ever thought.
Yes. And
maybe even more than I wanted to.
Yes.
And I'm really trying to live my life honestly
mm-hmm.
and openly mm-hmm. and sharing with people what I feel.
Yes.
And most of the time, I like this way of living.
Mm-hmm.
But the problem is, is when you're not fully protected,
mm.
that it's not only you're coming to people, but people are coming to you back. And then I can't control what's happening.
Mm.
And they're reactions and
welcome to life.
Yeah. It was nice not to having those.
Yes.
And I'm always moving between this wanting to I know that this is the path, but the letting go of controlling the situation and this idea that only if I will do everything right
mm.
everything will work.
Mm.
And it's the biggest things and the tiniest things. And this loop, this overdoing loop in my head. Now I see it.
Yes.
But it's still there so strongly.
Okay, so the wanting to control is still there.
Yeah.
What to do about it? Any thoughts? Anything occur to you during the week about what might help release control or the desire to control?
It helps for seconds every time
mm-hmm.
To be wrong.
Oh, okay.
Like every time trying to guess what's going to happen next and to be wrong all the time.
Okay. So not knowing what's going to happen gives you some relief.
Yeah, but I always feel like I have to know. And
mm.
I have all the time. I'm calculating everything.
Yes. Like,
and again, I'm wrong most of the times, but it's not stopping me from calculating and again and again and again and again.
Okay.
Everything.
Okay, so the old movement of mind is to control. The new seeing is the lack of control or letting go of control. But when you're wrong, you realize it's fruitless to control. So name some things that you're endeavoring to control.
Within what?
That you are trying to control.
My schedule on the minute.
Yes.
Even here.
Yes.
Being
on time.
Dividing, like, okay, I have 45 minutes now. So 15 minutes, I'm going to walk here. 15 minutes, I'm going to walk there. Then I have 3 minutes to go here and then 2 minutes to go here. And then it will take me about a minute and a half to go to bring this to, from the room. And my watch is 5 minutes earlier than the time. So I feel like I'm always...
Recalculating?
I'm always in advance.
Okay.
Because I have early. Extra 5 minutes.
Okay.
I scheduled in my head the next meeting, the next week of meetings with all my friends. I have no idea if that's true.
Yes, okay. So you...
But the meeting... The schedule exists.
Okay, so there's planning mind has kicked in. Happens on the last day of retreat, usually.
No, it started from the first.
Okay. what else? How else do you control?
I'm already thinking like, when next I'm gonna be here and be on the next retreat, and who's gonna teach it without having any idea if that's correct, and what time of the year it's gonna be, and what I'm gonna say at work, and how I will manage to do that. And again, I already build not only my schedule, I'll build Tovana's schedule for the next year for all of you. I hope you will recap later.
You'll build she's building a schedule for all of us.
Yeah.
And Tovana.
Yeah.
And yourself.
Yeah.
Wow.
I will be there.
Okay, so the I goes into planning mode. So there's it all rests on the sense of self, doesn't it? So, well, not all, but there's the sense of self, number one, and then there's the desire. What's the desire? The desire is to control, but what's the controlling made up of?
Be safe.
Mm-hmm. What else?
Like, if I'm one step ahead, everything else, like, again, I'm protected.
Yes.
I planned all of this. You cannot interact.
You can't interrupt my plans.
You can't interrupt my plans. Mm. Like, I'm the planner. I'm the producer. You're always welcome to participate, but...
But not to mess with her.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I'm glad it's becoming harder to do so.
Yes. Okay, let's stay with the desire. So there's a desire to feel safe.
Yeah.
What else? Desire to control. Desire to feel safe.
To ensure my place.
Yes.
Like, if I'm writing the script, I don't have to be in the main role. Mm. I can stay behind the camera, that's fine.
Mm-hmm.
But make sure I'm not left behind.
So making a place for yourself. Of all the things that have happened here this week, Has there been a time where the planning mind just fell away and you were no longer planning, no longer caught in desire, no longer trying to construct and make the safe place for yourself?
I think it was today or yesterday's morning meditation. When I thought like, oh, how nice it will be like to be this person that's waking up early in the morning, having meditation, yoga and stuff. And that was a nice thought.
Okay.
And then when it went to like going in my head over the schedule of the yoga lessons, like next to my place, or what time should they be on the bus and stuff like that, it stopped to be a nice thought and became a clinging.
Yes.
And then I thought like, okay, and if I won't be that person that's waking up early in the morning, so I won't. And that was like, okay, I'm not depending on the schedule of my future waking ups to make sure that I'm good enough.
Okay, so there was momentary release from scheduling.
Yeah.
Of being attached to the schedule.
And I thought maybe in the future, if
yes,
that will happen, that will be nice. And that's it.
Okay, so right now, just drop all plans, if you would, please. Just drop the plan. Let go of any desires and wants. And just be here with us in the room. What's happening?
To start, like, in a small way.
Yes.
For the next 45 minutes of walking meditation.
Sounds like a plan.
I'm not having any plans.
Oh!
Okay?
Okay.
I'm just gonna walk out of here and to see where I will go.
Okay. So you're going to be open and receptive and let your feet take you.
Yeah.
No plan.
No. It sounds interesting.
Okay. Could you shift, do you think, your attention from here, from the head, from the world of thought, further down in your body to the chest? Right now. Just shift your attention downwards and just sit with us for a moment. What do you feel in your heart?
It's beating really fast.
Yeah.
I really want that. This unknowing.
Yes.
This mystery or revealing.
Yes.
Because here I know that there's much more to reveal than to create.
Okay.
So I'm trying to put it, like to glad it from here to here. Yes.
So to let the heart feel glad.
Yeah. And to be curious.
Yeah. To be curious, to be receptive, to be open, to be without a plan. And then to just see what happens.
I think it's going to be much more interesting because like, how many scripts can I write?
Yeah. Is this your job, by the way, as a script writer?
Not at all.
Not at all. Okay, you're just writing in your head.
But yeah, I work in strategic planning.
Oh. So.
Long-term planning.
Okay.
So maybe I will just keep it like to work.
To work.
Yeah.
Yes. It sounds like the way you think is really valuable in your work.
Yeah.
Yet in everyday life, it's a hindrance.
Yeah, I'm exhausted. I'm exhausted from it.
Yes, because to think too much is tiresome. It's exhausting.
And most of those thoughts are...
They're unnecessary.
I wanted to say garbage. But
okay.
So...
I'm more polite.
Yeah. Because they're wrong. They're like, they're not happening.
Well, they might be, or they may not be. Our plans get interrupted. But the energy that goes into planning is often just wasted energy.
Yeah, definitely.
Because the thoughts are totally unnecessary. There's a multitude of them. And all they do is cause stress in the body. So shifting the attention from here to the heart. And meet life from there. Not from the world of thought. Just do that when you're at work, planning.
And then switch off.
Yeah. And then let it be. And for you in your life, the planning is causing stress and anxiety. It's exhausting you. So see if you can meet life without the plan. Receptive, open. Free.
I'll try that.
You'll try it?
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Last chance. There was someone over in this direction. No? Yeah, okay. Yes, come. Sorry, there's too many hands.
Hi.
Hi.
My name is Gal. I'm here because I think that most, if not all, of my adult life, I held, or I'm still holding, this view that I don't want to bring children into the world.
Yes.
Up until a few years ago, it was like with exclamation mark. And
yes, I don't want to have children, full stop.
Yes. And in the last few years, I see how much change I made in my personal life.
Mm-hmm.
And then, so I'm like more flexible about this view because I know that now, maybe now it's
mm-hmm.
true, but maybe in 2 or 5 or I don't know how many years. I mean, of course, there is a limit of time there, but I know that it might change.
Okay, so the fixed view has ended. And there's more openness to the possibility now of having a child.
Yes. And also the reason that this topic meets me right now is that me and my partner are for 2.5 years together now.
Yes.
And we are, up until now, we were at a point that both of us agree that for now, I said that I don't want. He said that he doesn't know if he wants or not.
Mm-hmm.
But in the last few months, it has changed. And now he knows that he will want in the future. And I'm still with the...
So he does think that he wants a child now?
Yeah, and not now, but he...
In the future?
Yeah, he will want in the future.
Okay.
So I didn't know that this is what I will bring with me to the retreat, but this is what held my mind, I think, most of the time. So this is
what's arisen for you on the retreat?
No, it wasn't the reason that I came here, but this is what like came up
yes.
During my time here.
Mm-hmm.
And I have a lot of reasons for the yes and for the no, but I think that one of the most, I can deal with most of the fears and doubts and in both the yes and the no list I made during the years. Yeah. But one of the main like topics that that are still with me is the sense of suffering, but not like the personal suffering. It's more like, I don't know exactly how to describe it, but like during the days here, I felt that I'm carrying with me a lot of like suffering from outside, like suffering of the situation in the country and suffering from the situation in the world.
Yes.
And
therefore?
And this is something that I am telling to myself, that like the world is full with suffering.
Oh, no. The world is not full of suffering. There is suffering.
There is suffering.
In this world.
Yeah.
There are many, many other things in the world other than suffering, yeah. Believe it or not.
Yeah. Yeah. I agree.
You agree?
Yes.
There is suffering is the first noble truth. Not yeah. The world is full of suffering, please.
Yeah. Okay. I
might
totally
seem like that when you live in Israel, but... It's actually not the case when we look carefully, even here.
Yes, it's true.
Yes, okay.
So
are you saying you are wondering what kind of world you are bringing the child into?
Yes.
Is that part of the question? Or thinking?
Like when we are talking about not clinging and like... not clinging to our thoughts, to our feelings.
Mm-hmm.
I can feel it and I can understand it in the personal level. But when it comes to things that happen outside, I'm thinking like, is it okay, of course, from my perspective, to bring kids, to bring kids into the world. I don't know, I just, again, I felt during these days like this really hard feeling of like carrying on myself. Like,
so you are carrying the burden of the world with you?
Yeah, and some level.
Okay.
Like the bad things we are doing, for example, to the Palestinians, the bad things that the yes. Palestinians are doing to us, the bad things that happened in the country internally. Yes.
Okay. So one aspect is, do I really want to have a child? You had in the past said no to that. Now there's a kind of yes coming through. But is the state of the world. Am I understanding correctly? Is this the question? Can you put the question really clearly to me?
Yeah, I'll try. My question is whether or not it's okay to, like, in the personal level, I know to let go of my thoughts, to let go, like, to try to be in the present.
Yes.
But when it comes to such a big decision, like mm-hmm. bringing life into the world, is it okay to focus only on the present moment and on the direct experience and, like, not taking into consideration other aspects like the past, the future, the present, outside of my personal experience?
Okay. So life wants to procreate. Life wants to bring life. It's a basic kind of human urge, is it not? We have this feeling, I can remember, not thinking much about having children until I reached a certain age. And then there was this almost a biological drive, really, and an openness to the idea of having children. So life wants life. It's part of who we are. And so this urge comes. But I think it's interesting that you're now saying, okay, what are the conditions? What conditions am I bringing a child into? And it's a really, really big question. But there could be another way of making the decision. What do you think it might be?
This internal urge that you're talking about.
Yes. We are free to either have children or not have children. We have freedom both ways. As women now, that's an option. We don't need to have children, and we're free to have children. Given that I have four, I could have a little bias in this direction, in one direction. I openly admit this. I adore my children. So, here you are. You're considering, what shall I do? Are all the environmental issues and the conditions of the world enough to stop me from wanting to have a child or not? The last person who came with this inquiry has a child. I'm just putting it out there. And interestingly enough, when the child met me, I'd never seen the child before. The child saw me from a distance, ran towards me, and just threw himself at me. He was about two. It was unbelievable.
Amazing. You know, should you be thankful for?
Okay. So, it seemed like he was thankful for the whole process of being alive.
Yeah.
So I think that there are causes and conditions and events that are beyond our capacity as human beings to think about. There's this extraordinary mystery of life. Have you ever seen a child born?
Not the process itself, yes. But like, when I think about the process and...
It's the most extraordinary yes, thing, really.
Of course.
It's an unbelievable process that life just manifests right there.
I agree.
So I think there are things that we don't know. So trying to really work it out with thought alone could make us fall short. Mm-hmm. We may not take into account every single little detail that needs to be taken into account. So, can you just sit and put an inquiry question in your heart? And the question simply needs to be, shall I have a child? Am I open to having a child?
I think that for me, I haven't met this urge yet.
Okay.
So right now, probably not.
So the answer is not yet.
Yes.
But it's not closed.
Yeah.
Okay. So just sit again. Reflect on the suffering of the world. How can you meet the suffering of the world with wisdom? What comes to you?
In the meditation this morning, after the letting go instruction.
Yes.
I really felt it here.
Yes.
And I kept telling to myself, let it go.
Yes.
And focused on my breath.
Yes.
And it felt a huge relief afterwards.
Yes. So you let go of what?
I think this burden.
Yes. You put down the burden. So we meet life by putting down the burden. When we put down the burden, we're not separating ourselves from the world, me and the world. When we do that, non-dual wisdom arises, the wisdom that's not born of the division into self and other. Because whatever the self is thinking about, everything, including the suffering out there, we're making a division. And then the depth of wisdom that's pure and extraordinary doesn't flow through the being. Because there's the restriction, there's the holding. The more we make self, the more there is other. As soon as we construct the self that's worrying and trying to work out and trying to consider all the possibilities, and all the feelings and all the thoughts, the more we do that, the more we make the other. And the more the other, the conditions of the world, the situation here, seems huge and enormous and difficult and impossible. So wisdom comes when we let go of the sense of self, we let go of wanting something a particular way, to have the child or not, we're free either way. And then we wait and we see what moves through life. So you'll see. So that's how you do it.
Thank you.
Yeah. Put down the burden of the world. It's too much for you to carry. It's too much for all of us. And when we're burdened with the world, we don't make clear decisions. When we put down the burden of the world and the burden of the self, right action appears. Thank you. Just sitting quietly together. reflecting on the first inquiry, sometimes we can feel rather stuck. We look at life and we evaluate and we measure, we look back and we regret. We see that perhaps we haven't at times acted with the kind of integrity we would like to act with. And so then we begin to find fault inwardly, or we find fault outwardly. Self-hatred and self-loathing is an incredibly painful state of mind. It's self-criticism. We believe we've done the wrong thing. And then what happens often is we then isolate and withdraw. And that inward movement away from the world itself exacerbates the pain. It leads to alienation and sometimes to depression. This is it's a very common movement of mind. Instead, what's required is to meet life. Just as was said at the conclusion, I want to meet life fully, which is not to go with the habit of withdrawal, but to really fully embrace life, to meet life, to be present, to be there with courage. And then, of course, when we do that, life becomes much easier and the heaviness lifts from being. And sometimes when we look back, there can be lots of painful emotions and we need to be rather tender and compassionate and forgiving with ourselves. There is not a person here who has not done something which we regret, including myself, of course. But we don't need to be bound to that. We can move forward rather freely when we meet life differently. The second inquiry. The mind moves through the field of time to the future. We plan, we organize, we try to control so that we don't feel anxious. The more we try to control, the less control we realize we actually have. Trying to control in order to avoid anxiety really doesn't work. So the method requires us to let go of the construct of self, to be open, to be receptive, to drop our desires that we know what would be best for ourselves and others and everybody else. To drop it, to be open, and then to see what comes. Where there's the extraordinary possibility of the new. When the mind grasps one condition, the next, and the next, over and over again, habitually, and this is what happens when we plan, when the mind is grasping one condition, then another, and then another, we're caught in that activity of wanting, of grasping. We're caught in self. The way through is to actually see through the whole structure of self and the whole movement of mind that wants or doesn't want and wants to control, for example. So we need to find a fresh way of being. And that takes a shift to the unknown. A shift to receptivity. And it was beautiful to see the intention and to hear that in the next 45 minutes, there is no plan. No plan. The mind might go to planning. If it does, it's like stop right there. Just stop the mind. Loosen the grip. Rest in non-clinging. This is the recipe for freedom. And with anxiety, of course, we cannot control everything that happens, and we need to let go. We need to bring that wisdom to life. And finally, with the third inquiry, I appreciate very much the thoughtfulness that goes into making such big decisions. However, it is really important, I think, to make such decisions not based on self, I, me, and my, but to make the decision based on something rather larger. And this requires us, if we're going to see clearly and not be deluded, to put down the burden of suffering. So when we just let go of all the suffering that we're carrying in the mind and the body, we then let go of self. With the dissolution of the self and the thought world and the endeavor to control everything, we can then make a clearer decision. We're not caught in self. We're not carrying the burden of the other, in this case, the world. When that ceases, the non-dual wisdom, the wisdom that is not based on self and other, can burst forth. And sometimes it's surprising. Sometimes the decision we make isn't the decision that we'd make with our head. It's a decision of the heart. It's a decision based on love. It's a decision based on openness. It's a decision based on trust. Having said that, I very much appreciate freedom not to have children, as well as the freedom to have children. And I will say that having children has been the most extraordinary thing I've ever done in my entire life. The love that I've experienced is beyond anything I'd ever touched before. It is truly an extraordinary thing. Now, you do not have to have your own children in order to feel that love. But if you just are with a child, look at the face of a young child or a baby, love just comes back at you. It's the most extraordinary thing. It's beautiful. And right there we see the emptiness of self. And with that emptiness, there's wonderful love that's possible. So when we make decisions, in order to make a clear decision, we put down the burden of the world. We put down the burden of self. And then we see in a different way. We intuit. We use our awareness. We simply allow the depth of wisdom that's possible to come through. And, of course, there's much that we do not know in this life. We can't take into account every single detail because life is such a mystery. So with that, the inquiries have come to a close. I'm sorry if you wanted to come up and there hasn't been time. There'll be other retreats. I'm teaching another in 2 days' time, in fact. So thank you to each of you over the days who have come, and thanks to the three who came today. And thank you to each of you for showing such extraordinary love and care. I wish you could just all see what it's like to sit here and to look at you. The love that's coming this way is really, really beautiful. And the attention has helped over the days to really bring forth a great deal of wisdom. So I thank you, each of you.